And now, from one of America's top four hospitals, it's Talking About Your Health with specialists from Cleveland Clinic. Here's your host, Melanie Cole.
Alzheimer's is primarily a disease of aging, although it can occur in younger adults. My guest today is Dr. Jagan Pillai of Cleveland Clinic's Lou Ruvo Center for Brain Health. Welcome to the show, Dr. Pillai. Tell us about Alzheimer's disease.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm a neurologist, and I do see patients with Alzheimer's disease. It is a progressive degeneration of the brain that happens when cells of the brain die off faster than they need to because there's an abnormal protein being accumulated in the brain.
So what are some risk factors that might predispose someone to getting Alzheimer's disease, whether early onset Alzheimer's or later in life?
That's a very good question. We broadly define early onset when people have symptoms under the age of 65. And this is just a cutoff, that's randomly put in based on people's working ages. Usually even younger onset, genetics plays a strong role. Like if you have a strong family history, that increases your chances of having Alzheimer's at a younger age. Sometimes it can happen randomly because of mutations in the gene. As you get older, there's a higher likelihood of Alzheimer's-related changes coming up. So age is a huge risk factor, along with some lifestyle habits, having uncontrolled diabetes and hypertension and cholesterol sometimes makes the changes in your brain from Alzheimer's more prominent or earlier in their symptoms.
Dr. Pillai, people are always wondering what the difference between just the onset of dementia and age-related dementia versus Alzheimer's disease symptoms. What are we looking at that people might send up a red flag and come to see you?
Yeah, that's again something that's on people's mind. And one way I try to answer that is that, you know, as we get older, we are still able to take care of ourselves independently, which means, you know, maintain a social life, do your normal routine, take care of yourself, go for walks or shopping and taking care of your finances. If you're having difficulty maintaining your normal routine, not from physical problems, but because of you making mistakes in your thinking, it is time to consider a possibility that there are changes in your brain. And a neurologist plays a role here trying to figure out, is this part of a disease pattern or is it just something related to other changes in your life from medical reasons or medication-related and things like that. So often it's very hard to make a simple rule of thumb unless you see a progressive change or a period of time. That would be of concern.
And if it's a loved one, you're noticing things in them, what would you notice? Would you notice them forgetting things? Would you notice mood swings and changes that typically were not usual for this person?
Again, that's something we do come across. I tend to tell people that they can distinguish between two kinds of forgetfulness. One is immediate forgetfulness. In many cases, you misplaced where you had your keys, what you just did in the other room, and you walked into a room and forgot why you were here. And that's difficulty keeping track of things as they're going along. That's less of a concern as a sign for Alzheimer's. And what we're more concerned about is when you're having difficulty holding information inside yourself. Like you're given some piece of information, and 10 minutes later, you're still asking the same questions, and this becomes a pattern throughout the day. That's more of a concern than having occasional episodes of forgetfulness come on and off.
So, what tests are available to find out if this is actually what you have, and then if it is diagnosed, Dr. Pillai, what are the treatments right now that you've got?
The diagnosis, there used to be a concern that we cannot diagnose Alzheimer's until, you looked at the brain after the person has passed on. But that is no longer true right now. We can have a high degree of confidence in the diagnosis that this is from Alzheimer's, that the changes in their life have taken place. We tend to pursue such additional treatment when the person is young and working and they need to find an answer, fast for making decisions in their life. As we get older, the probability of Alzheimer-related changes is so high that, you know, additional tests are more of a burden for the patient and the family to go through them. So we tend to take, you know, patients in their context to suggest additional tests are useful for them. Some additional tests to confirm Alzheimer's, I mean, right now we have an amyloid PET scan, which measures amyloid burden, which is an abnormal protein deposit in Alzheimer's in the brain. We also have cerebral spinal fluid testing, where we put a needle in the back of the spine and take the fluid out and test for Alzheimer's protein-related changes. Or we can also have a very high confidence of testing by detailed neuropsychology evaluation along with a brain MRI measuring memory areas in the brain. So a combination of tests are usually used depending on the clinical context and the age of the person, other things going on. So I think, you know, usually you need to have a discussion with the neurologist trying to figure out, you know, what's the right choice for you.
So if this diagnosis comes out positive after you've done the neuropsychological testing and MRIs and your amyloid PET scan and spinal cord fluid testing and all of the different tests that you have available to you, Dr. Pillai, then what are the treatments? Is there a way to slow the progression of Alzheimer's?
Absolutely. I think a clear diagnosis has a different role, say, from making a diagnosis of, say, breast cancer. You know, making a diagnosis of Alzheimer's does not suddenly impact, you know, your life expectancy, whether you make the diagnosis or not. But it does cut down uncertainty in somebody's life as to why they're facing changes, why things are not the way they are. It also improves your chances of applying for Social Security benefits if you're, very young and having these changes, because financially planning for these things becomes very important. As far as treatment measures are concerned, there are clinical trials available for slowing down or stopping progression of the disease, but right now medications that are FDA approved just improve function in spite of changes in the brain. So they don't stop the disease progression, but improve function in spite of the protein-related changes in the brain.
So you're using the medications to manage symptoms and different medications for different stages of Alzheimer's, correct?
That is true. There are FDA approved medications that are used in mild changes, mild functional changes from Alzheimer's, or more severe functional difficulties from Alzheimer's.
Dr. Pillai, caring for someone with Alzheimer's can be very challenging. Please give us your best advice for the caregivers out there.
I get asked this question often. I have some few tips I give them. First is understanding the disease. So make an effort to understand what the course of the changes are going to be, and you know, what you can expect in the future. Second would be giving more space to the person who is being affected by the disease. Manage your expectations and set reasonable goals for the person you're dealing with. The third would be, most important in my mind, would be safety. So people tend to make more mistakes and place themselves in situations that are dangerous and need hospitalizations when they are diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease dementia. So safety precautions are important to be in place. The fourth would be that you might need to have a medical care professional involved in the care of your loved one so that they can help you make some decisions when things are out of control or you feel overwhelmed. That's pretty much what I would say somebody who's caring for a loved one with Alzheimer's.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pillai. You're listening to Talking About Your Health with Cleveland Clinic. For more information, you can go to clevelandclinic.org. That's clevelandclinic.org. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening.